Romans chapter 5. Let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Last night was our prayer time together, and we sent some good things, some wonderful things to pray about. Some that didn't come up, and it was important enough in the life of one of our attendees to go. What's your father-in-law's name? I'm sorry? Kenneth. And let's be in prayer. He had a valve replacement, okay? And the operation went okay, but then a lung collapsed, and so not doing real well at this point. Okay, just holding on. So let's be in prayer, and that God's will be done. Do you know if he has accepted Christ as Savior? Huh? See what? Okay. So, yes. Uh-huh. How old is she? And what's her name? Karen. Karen? Chris enjoyed that you said they're a young girl, 32. Yeah, that's good. And she had brain surgery?
Yeah, I had a tumor removed. I don't
know if it's my husband or not. Do you know if she's a Christian? Yes, and what's her first name?
Karen.
Karen? Okay, so we have two requests right here. And, Let's be in prayer. She wants us to be in prayer because school started and her mom doesn't understand what happens when you start school. You think after all these years, she would understand. Okay, so we have these requests added to the angel we're in prayer for in regard to last night. And so let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer and get ready for our study in Scripture. Let's pray. Father, throughout the whole world, there are so many in the body of Christ that are in need of prayer, and we don't know all of those. And we pray to you, Heavenly Father, those that in one way or another cross our path of prayer influence. And the two requests we have tonight, and the older man in the heart, troubles in the collapsed lung, the young lady, Heavenly Father, with the tumor. We pray, Father, that your intended will be worked out in their life, that they will respond and not react to your sovereignty over all these things that occur and that you are in control. And that if we have Heavenly Father and can have any influence, any contact or any way in this membership, Father, please allow this to happen. Father, we again bring up to you Christopher Costello as he continues to work through understanding the spiritual life and understanding the importance of having Christ as the very center and living his life to reflect that glory and that person in his life. We thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing in this assembly with each other and in individual lives, Father. And now, as we enter into battle, in the understanding, Father, of faith and spiritual love and where they fit into the total picture of our being day in and day out, pray that your Spirit will cause us to understand and see the clarity of these things, Father. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Very interesting. Last night, we're in the midst of studying forgiveness, and we noticed some things in regard to forgiveness, and that the fundamental concept of forgiveness is spiritual love, loving as Christ loved. In the study of the Gospel of John, we're in the midst of studying, doing and performing the greater work. And involved as a condition of the greater work is spiritual love, or loving as Jesus Christ loved us. In dealing with our momentum right now, at least on Wednesday night, we have the new commandment. And the new commandment is spiritual love. It just seems, it's everywhere. It's an understanding of loving as Christ loved. You know, you take almost every pastor, every preacher, most denominations, most organizations, they have something that is their primary goal, their objective, And it can be such things as witnessing, which is part of the greater work. You have witnessing. You have the learning of Scripture, the learning of the Word. You have service as another great emphasis that a lot of people have, and serving and doing for God, and on and on and on. And all of these have an importance, but it just seems like to me the more that I do take myself into a study, the more that in so many passages, in every book, all these things, is this idea of loving as Jesus Christ loved you. It just seems to come up, and Paul calls it the goal. He calls it the goal. I mean, here we are. It sounds like Paul Herman's beating a drum here. He's beating something to death when he's talking about faith and he's talking about love. We're going to be studying the book of Revelation. I'm going to add hope in our study of Revelation. But I just got to tell you right up front, we're not going to move away from faith and love. It just isn't going to be taken from us, no matter what book we're going to study in Scripture, is to continue to trust Him in whatever happens in our life. No matter what age, no matter where we are, married, single, work, church, social life, dealing with Christians, dealing with non-Christians, whatever it may be, it's just going to come up. Are we going to trust Him? And this is what He's looking for, those who will trust Him. We make decisions. So many decisions are made with the absence of faith, the absence of trusting Him. Many people marry with the absence of faith. They don't trust God. Many people divorce because of the absence of faith. Many people make decisions in life with the absence of faith, and I'm talking about Christians here. This is fundamental in this whole spiritual warfare. Who are those that are going to trust Him? Then you come to love. And the understanding and the place of this is as the essence of God. God is love, and that love flows through us, and we'll see hope. But it just comes to me the more I study that to love is Christ's love. Here's the goal. Nothing, as I said, nothing will be tested more in your life than spiritual love. And when you're hit with the major test, you're going to want to rationalize it away as to something else. Now, what we're in the midst of looking at on Wednesday night right now, as per the new commandment, is the work that is set before us. And you remember why I call it work, because that's what Paul calls it in Galatians chapter 5. The work that is set before us is spiritual love. Once again, what is spiritual love? Spiritual love is loving as Jesus Christ loved. That is what spiritual love is. Now, what we're in the midst of and what I want to complete tonight is the cause, because this is so important. What is the cause of spiritual love in my life? What causes spiritual love? And we've already introduced that the cause of spiritual love in your life is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Here is the cause of this love. No one is going to love as Christ loved. This is why spiritual love is not for an unbeliever. It's only for the new spiritual creature. So I call it spiritual love, one of the reasons. So first of all, you have to be a believer. Secondly, no believer can love as Christ loved outside of the power of the Spirit. Therefore, spiritual love, new spiritual creature, spiritual power. And this love has spiritual impact. It is this love that did all three things on our old triangle that we look at. Here's God and Satan, and then the great battle they had. God brought man into the scene. Man was in harmony with God. Satan became jealous of it and broke that relationship, and he broke it with sin. Sin always results in death for the believer or unbeliever. And so man's condition now, he's spiritually dead, separated from God, and he's in the power of Satan's kingdom of darkness. This line is unbroken. And Satan said, there's no way. Since God is a righteous and just God, no way can God do anything about man's condition. There is nothing that God can do. Man must stay in his kingdom of darkness. Satan doesn't mind if this just stays this way forever and ever and ever, as long as all mankind stays in his kingdom, because man is no has no righteousness. God has to judge him and condemn him. One thing Satan didn't count on was the love of God that would send his own son to die on a cross and offer life. Now, in your individual life, spiritual love, when it comes for you, from you, will do all three things. It will satisfy. Spiritual love satisfies the essence of God. Spiritual, whenever you function in spiritual love, you will please God. Secondly, spiritual love defeats Satan. Satan has no ground in your soul and in your life when you love as Christ loved. And third, if you are loving, you cannot sin. We saw that in Romans. You cannot do another person wrong, so you defeat sin in your life. All three areas of the triangle that happened by the love of Christ on the cross happens to you in your life. So this is how important it is. And right now we're looking at the cause, and that brought us to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And as I said, we're not going to spend a great deal of time, but I want to point out a few things as we flow through this. Now, we left off, so let's just continue moving to it now. Romans 5, 5. We're in verse 5 of Romans. Romans is Romans chapter 5 begins the dissertation for believers. And we'll see this when we go through our survey. But I just want to talk with you. See, there's just nothing that's going to affect your life moment by moment as loving as Christ loves, forever and whatever you do. Now, we're going to come to the means, I hope we get to it tonight, but I want you to understand right now, the cause is a personal fellowship, a personal relationship between you and God the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look. Romans 5, 5, and we have said it a little bit, so let us just move into it. Verse 5, and hope, and we'll take a look at some of the things about hope later in our study. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, and this is spiritual love, the love of God, the love that belongs to God, love from the source of God, has been poured out within our hearts. Now, this is where we left off, and we're dealing with ekkeo. And let's take a look. Here's our word, and I want to put it on the board for a reason. This is E-K-C-H-E long O. Now, this is the word, this is our word that we're dealing with. And again, it means to pour out. We spent some time last week with it in regard to the picture that is formed of the word. Just to show you, I don't know if we did this last week, but doing some work on the word this week. This is what we call a prepositional precept. Here's your root word. C-H-E-O is your root word. This is a prepositional prefix, and it's a preposition put in front of a word, and this means out, and this means to pour. And so the word comes to mean to pour out. And this is what we have happening. The Holy Spirit pours out this love in you. He pours out this love. So what's the here is the Holy Spirit, and here's your soul. And the Holy Spirit pours out this love into your soul. He pours spiritual love into your soul. This is part of that little discussion we talk about every now and then. When the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, does it mean to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit, or does it mean to be filled with what the Holy Spirit gives? It's sort of a circular battle. I'm not going to get involved in it, but you can see the idea. What we want to do now, if we want to put ourselves in position where the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, can pour this love of Christ into my soul. And just so that we don't miss it, what we must do, and we'll see this next, but what we must do for this to happen, so that Dave Smith doesn't come up and say you didn't tell us how to do it tonight, but what I want you to understand that, how our part in allowing this person, the third member of the Godhead, to pour into our soul the love of Jesus Christ, our part is to trust him that he will do this if we walk by faith in him. That is our part. So, we receive love. One might even say we experience spiritual love, and we do this. What causes this love, what causes the love, and that's what we're dealing with. And I'm using the word cause for a very important reason. What causes this love to pour through me, what caused that to happen is our faith and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the cause of this love. You and I do not work for it. You and I do not work to gain this love. So God's love is poured into our soul, every part of the soul. Our thinking is affected by spiritual love. Our conscience is affected by spiritual love. The emotions are affected by spiritual love. Vocabulary is affected by spiritual love. And that's why we can take a lot of the, or all of the statements about the way a person ought to live, the moral statements, the righteous statements, in no abusive language, and the way we think, the way we deal with each other, you're not still, all not adultery, all of the things, not murder, gossip, maligning, all of these things, people, if this love is flowing through you, those things will not occur or will occur, whichever way you want to look at it. In other words, the righteousness will occur. Nowhere does Scripture say if you do righteousness, you'll do love. It says if you do love, you will not wrong another person. So we can test ourselves by what's going on inside of our soul if this spiritual love is flowing through us. It affects every part of your being. If people want to get down and break up for a spiritual study, a biblical study or whatever, and they go through what science and psychology and all have taught us and all of the compartments here of the soul and everything that's involved in the soul, however you break it down, this ideal of pouring into means that it affects every part of your soul. It will affect every aspect of your being. So, now, where does the love come from? It's poured into us. Where does it come from? Who pours the love, the spiritual love, into our souls? I do not generate this love. You do not generate this love. This is why this is a love that can be commanded. It cannot command romantic love, but Christ can command spiritual love. Why can Christ command spiritual love? Why can he do that? All right, let's take a look now. Who pours this into our soul? Because the love, look at verse 5, because the love of God has been poured out within our soul hearts. Now, you have a phrase, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. As I told you before, God never demands or commands or asks for anything from us that he does not first give us. He does not do that. He doesn't say, give me something that you do not possess. He asks for faith in his Son for salvation. He gives to every member of the human race a measure of faith. Now, if you and I want to use it to trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, that's our faith decision. If we choose not to, which is not to use that faith. But he has given to every member of the human race a measure of faith. Now, everyone that believes in Jesus Christ, and look what it says, the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, what we have, and I want to do this for a purpose. It says now, poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to have some fun with you tonight. So I'm glad you're here. We'll just have some fun in noting some things in Scripture. All right, what we have is a preposition dia. Looks like this. That's D-I-A in the Greek. And it's dia plus the genitive case. And I'm putting that on the board for a good reason, for fun tonight. Now, what this tells us, dia plus the genitive, tells us how this comes about. It gives us the means or through the Holy Spirit. Okay, dia plus the genitive, through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit here. Now I want you to do something with me. Watch this. Come with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I was working on Sunday morning, what we're going to do in closing up and ending our study on love on Sunday morning. And I'm trying to pull together several things Sunday morning, so it's going to be fast and heavy. But let's look at 2 Corinthians. I just want to tell you something that jumped out at me while I was studying. These are the fun type of things. Since I don't have a dog, or a wife, that wasn't even nice to compare them that way. But since I have no one in my house that I can, you know, say, hey, look this, you get it. So let me show you something rather interesting here. 2 Corinthians 5. Come on, that was funny. Don't sit there and get angry. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, I want you to look at something that's really interesting here. Now, all these things, and what we're dealing with here is reconciliation. Now, all these things are from God. God the Father. Who reconciled us. That God the Father does the reconciling. God the Father reconciled us to himself. What does it say? Through Christ. That's very interesting what we have here. Through Christ. Because what we have is exactly the same construction. We have dia plus the genitive, only this time we have Christ. And so what all I want to show you is salvation one, which is at the cross, that's the work of Christ. See? Through Christ, this is a dia plus the genitive, same Greek construction. Only in the 2 Corinthians passage, which deals with salvation one, or entering into a relationship with God, we have Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, for living the Christ-centered life, the Christ-like life, the Spirit-filled life, to live salvation two, sanctification, whatever words you like, and they're all bona fide and they all have scriptural background, the life of sanctification, what are we at? We are through the Holy Spirit. See, so here we have the work of Christ for entering into the plan. We have the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the cause of us living in God's plan, entering God's plan. Here's the cause, Jesus Christ, our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if we understand the model, salvation 1 and 2, here is the cause of living salvation 2, faith in the Holy Spirit. So we'll see more on this, but I wanted you to see the preposition, how rich they are. When I was in seminary, about three of us went to one of the professors who we thought would be our best bet, and we asked him if we could have a course. Dallas would do this sometime if there were enough who wanted it. If we could have an entire semester just on prepositions of the Greek. They're very important. They're very, very rich. And his schedule and time he didn't have the time to really work one up and everything. He saw the need of it, but and now he's no longer at Dallas, but they're just so rich, what you can gain and reap from them. And I just wanted to share that with you so that you can see the face. Because sometimes when I say things, you go, okay, you know, and you almost kind of accept. I want you to see where the thinking of the faith in the Holy Spirit for your Christian life, faith in Jesus Christ to enter into it. Where does all of that come from? It comes from things like this. Dia plus the genitive. Through Christ, we're reconciled to God. Salvation one. Through the Holy Spirit, we have this love. And that is equivalent to salvation two. All right, come back to Romans 5 with me. And so we can move on in our study here. But I just wanted you to see these things. So, it's poured, this love, it's poured into us, the cause of it, through the Holy Spirit. You do not produce the love, you cannot produce the love by the energy of the flesh. No matter, I want to love as Christ love, I'm going to work hard to love as Christ love. You can't work hard. It's not by you. You do not will spiritual love. You know, here I can make an analogy between spiritual love and human love. You can't make yourself love someone. You can't make yourself love someone in the world. And in this sense, you can't make yourself love spiritually, love as Christ loved. It's something you cannot do. This is something that is poured into us. So we come with that great question. Once again, and here's the heart. Here's the heart of a lot of arguments and debates and separation of Christians, and that is how? How? Because does it tell us in the verse? No, it doesn't. How can I have that love? I want to love as Christ loved because at certain times it isn't there and I want it to be there. I really want it to be there. because things just aren't going right. And if I have that love and that, then we can even add peace and joy and all those other things that the Holy Spirit gives. So we come to the great how. Well, this is what I'm trying to show you. In all of the answers that are given, and different people take different tracks, different roads. But to me, it's so simple. Through Jesus Christ, I'm reconciled to God. Via plus the genitive, through Jesus Christ. How do I access that? Faith. Then to me, I see via plus the genitive through the Holy Spirit. And I sit there, and to me, it's very clear of the gospel pattern. It's just so clear to me. I don't have to manipulate Scripture. I don't have to finagle Scripture to say you got to do this and you got to do this and break this whole pattern of relationship between creature and God. Faith. Just trust Him. I trusted Him and I was reconciled to God. God did it. God did it. All that I could do is to have that cause come to me is faith. Now I want this love. God's got to do it. I can't do it. God's got to pour this love in me. How can I have God do it? I got to go back. How did I do it here? As you received Him up. I got to go back here. It isn't by any kind of effort, any service, any piety, anything. It's the same thing as I did here. God works when I trust Him. God works in me and through me and with me and for me when I trust Him. So to me, you see things like this, these patterns in Scripture, and they just jump out at us. So we could just talk for a long time. This love is produced by God. This love is not produced by man. This verse is so clear. By the Holy Spirit. This is so clear. This is not a love that we can do. This is spiritual love. This is love that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ experienced this love. And therefore, because of this next line we're going to look at, all of us can experience this same love. So the work is love. The cause here is the Holy Spirit. Who was given? Okay, let's have some fun here. Let's take a look at this. Let's don't just sit down now and go to the doctrine of the indwelling of the Spirit. Because we can do that, but we can have some other fun here too. Was given who, not what. See, the love isn't what is given. Please be sure you understand this. It's who? Person. Person of the Godhead. Person of the Godhead. We're going to see on Sunday, not this Sunday probably, but next Sunday, a lot of Christians know a lot about the person and work of Jesus Christ. But not very many Christians know from Scripture the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He's a member of the Godhead. So it's a matter of who. This involves a relationship with a member of the Godhead that people don't have. A relationship with the Holy Spirit who gives us a relationship with Jesus Christ, who gives us a relationship with God the Father. No one comes to the Father but through the Son. People, that's even true of us as believers. Even when we pray, we've got to pray under His authority, His person, under His power, His direction. It brings us to a relationship. So here's a relationship now. A relationship with the Spirit gives us a relationship with the Son, who gives us a relationship with God the Father. So we have a dynamic, personal, intimate relationship with all three members of the Godhead. And it's powerful if a Christian will experience it. So it says, who? So we're dealing with that now. We have the aorist, passive, participle, and again I want to bring that up because we're going to have fun with it, of the verb didomi, and I want to show you something about this. Here, didomi. D-I-D-O-M-I. All right, what does it say here? It says he was given. Didomi means to give. Okay. Well, I'm not even going to really spend much time on this because this is what we'll be studying in the Gospel of John 14 coming up. I will go to the Father and I will ask the Father and He will give you the Holy Spirit. So we'll save all of that rather than duplicate it we'll save that discussion. Now, but here we have received, to give, who has given to us the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you something profound, which is just the richness of Scripture. Now, look with me at Acts 10:45. Hold your place here if you can, and look with me at Acts 10:45. Just to show you here something. Acts 10:45. All right, Acts 10:45. Okay, and all the circumcised believers. Who is that? Who are the circumcised believers? Jews, yes. I'm hard hearing. You've got to remember that. All right. And all the circumcised believers, so these are Jewish converts, who had come with Peter, were amazed. And look what they were amazed at. Because the gift of, their gracious gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. What I want to show you is the word poured out, it's the same word we have for the Holy Spirit pouring the love. And in our passage it says, he's given to us the Holy Spirit. We have another way of looking at it, he poured out the Holy Spirit. He poured it out, and the reason why it's poured out here is that the Holy Spirit's poured out on anyone and everyone who will believe in Christ, including Gentiles. It's passages like this that take us back to our study of the greater works. The greater works, remember what the greater works are. The greater works, and why they're greater than Christ's work, not more difficult. Christ's work was the more difficult task of the cross work. And then Christ did the great work of bringing Jews into the kingdom. You and I are allowed the greater work, and that is of extending the gospel to the Gentiles or to the whole world. This is what you and I have the privilege of doing, is spreading the gospel and opening up the spiritual kingdom. Christ did not come for the Jews. For the Gentiles. He said so. I came for the Jews. Now, you and I get to bring into the world Gentiles. And that's verses like this jump out at you when you understand what's happening historically and why they were amazed. They were amazed that this was going on. They were the Holy Spirit was given or just poured to them. And some Jews highly resented that because these Gentile dogs, they were not circumcised. They didn't come by law. They didn't need the law. They didn't need all that stuff that the Jews thought they needed. They just accepted Jesus Christ by faith. Boom. And they received or had the Holy Spirit poured to them. Look with me at Titus. Sort of one of Paul's letters on this issue. Look with me at Titus. Chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Okay, here we go. Titus chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us, he, God the Father, saved us, salvation 1, not on the basis of works, which we have done in righteousness, keeping the law, trying to be saved by being good. Oh, people, In just this year, the Lord has just given me the Holy Spirit the opportunity to lead several people to salvation knowledge of Christ, and two of them jumped out right so because my question, the way I talk with people, if I don't know if you died tonight, today, and you stood before God and He said to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And what would you say? Because that way I get to learn. If I say, "Are you saved?" Yeah. I don't know if they're saved or not. Do you believe in Christ? Yeah. I still don't know if they're really saved. But if somebody has to come back and say to me, "This is what I will say to God as to why He should let me into heaven," then I get a clear picture. Doesn't mean, if somebody gives me a wrong answer, meaning not the gospel answer, doesn't mean they're not, but at least means they're not clear on the issue. And I think sometimes that might be the case. But, be that as it may, two cases just recently, because I'm good, dash, I'm trying to be good. And that's trying to get in on these. It's trying to get in on the basis of what we do. And this is a beautiful verse, so let's look at it. He delivered us, saved us, salvation 1, redemptive or eternal, not on the basis of deeds or works which we have done in righteousness, trying to keep the law, but according to his mercy. See, once you realize you need mercy, you love mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who renews. Now, verse 6 is the key here. Whom, reference, person, and who's it referring to? The Holy Spirit, third member of Godhead. Whom he poured out, he, God the Father, poured out upon us. So here is receiving. In our passage in Romans 5, we have, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. Here's the same word that for the pouring of the love, he poured out upon us richly. And that concept of richly always goes with pouring out. Because when you pour something out, it just goes everywhere. You pour water and it splashes everywhere. You spill water and it goes everywhere. Poured out richly through another person, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, we come again. How does this happen? How did I receive? Now watch so that we can think our way through this. How? What do I have to do? What does Scripture say? It doesn't say so in this passage. So we have to put some things together and understanding some things. So what do I have to do? How, from the standpoint of me, how or what must I do to have the Holy Spirit given to me? We'll put the Romans 5, given or poured into me. How can I have the Holy Spirit given or poured into me? How is this going to be done? Answer, we know, by faith. This is how. So therefore, if I want the Holy Spirit in the Christian life, and here I have, and I sin, which means I'm carnal, which means I'm in darkness, which means I'm carnal, which means I am spiritually dead, temporarily, not eternally. So if I'm in the same condition, what must I do to have the Holy Spirit do those things? Again, the model, to me, just jumps out at you. You have no other choice but faith. You have no other choice. It just flows in Scripture. Yet, I do, I'm aware of the fact, people will say, no, you've got to work, you've got to do something, you've got to say something, you've got to work at it. I don't find that in Scripture, even in the pattern, much less in any other type of Scripture. So, people who say something else, they are in more of want of finding some Scripture than those who understand that it is by faith that these things happen. Okay, go back to Romans 5 with me now. Romans chapter 5. In dealing with these issues, so Romans 5, alright, who was given to us. Now, here again, it's just those things you put together. It's like, what I'm dealing with is, how are people saved in the Old Testament? You have to go through a lot of passages to work your way through and understanding salvation. But salvation in the New Testament is very clear. Salvation 1 is very clear, even though many reject it and still complicate it. But now what is complicated, if you want to use that word, what is hidden will be a better way. What is hidden now is the spiritual life. How to live a life that is pleasing to God. We don't have the law, though some people want to still say it's by the law. So we have to go through and look. Okay, let's look at our word. Who was given? Now, this is, in our text, an aorist, passive, participle. Pie! Alright, aorist tense. Aorist tense. What do we have with an aorist tense? The aorist tense here, that we have in the context, is really simple. The aorist tense, it doesn't talk about a process, it doesn't talk about time, it just said, boom, done. That's the aorist tense. It's a little bit difficult to think in concept, but the aorist tense doesn't really have time in its mind, behind its concept. Boom. So, when did this happen? The moment that you and I believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. At that point, God the Father, in answering a request of Jesus Christ, gives, pours, whatever words you like, they're both rich,
He gives or pours this gift, because we've seen that already, this wonderful gift into each one of us. Boom, it's a done deal. Everybody that believes in Jesus Christ is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we will see Jesus Christ goes to heaven, and he asks for this for us. But what is important now is the passive voice. We had it last week, didn't we? Had it last week with this love being poured. Now we have the passive voice of God the Father giving this. Okay, how do we receive the Holy Spirit from God? Okay, we could take a look. How's he going to pour it in? What's my part in him pouring it in? Okay, passive. Passive voice means the subject receives the action of the verb. Receives the action of the verb. Now, the verb here is to give. So, who was given to us. So, we're talking now in the passive voice, given to us. Passive voice, receive. Now, question. How does the creature receive anything from the Creator? Hey, just stepping it by faith. Can the creature earn anything from the Creator? No. If anybody thinks you can earn something from the Creator, from the sovereign, omnipotent God, you've got a problem in one of two areas, if not both. Your understanding of God or your understanding of the creature. One or the other. If you think that man can earn something from God, then you don't understand God. You don't understand how perfectly righteous he is. You don't understand the gulf between the creature and the Creator. He's so infinite in every aspect of his being. He's beyond comprehension. They begin to use words like righteous, love, eternal life, omnipotent, omnipresent, to help our minds comprehend the Creator. But he defies definition. Don't ever, and those of you that know my past, I'm not using this for that purpose. I'm using it to make a point. Don't ever try to box him in into a definition. Because the moment you define, God, you have confined God. You confined him to your definition. And that's one of the worst things you'll ever do. This was Job's big problem. Job had God all figured out. He had God defined. He had God figured out. And then God stepped out of that definition. God didn't act according to Job's definition. And it devastated Job. It devastated Job. It's one of the worst things that you and I can do. Is to get into this idea in our relationship with God. God, I know how you're going to act with me, and then he doesn't act that way. Got it all figured out. Job's problem was, you're going to bless those who are good, you're going to curse those who are bad, and Job gets cursed, he knows he's going to be bad, so therefore he blames God. And then people get all their ideas with God. Okay, I got God all figured out, and therefore I did bad, so God's going to get me, and instead he sends you prosperity. He goes, I don't understand. This must be a Satan. Because we've got God figured out. Don't do that. People, this is why hey, I'm trusting you. This is what Job ended up saying. I trust you. You're God. I'm not going to try to box you in. I'm not going to try to confine you. Don't understand. I don't understand. That's okay. I don't understand what you're doing. But I do trust you. You're sovereign. You're omnipotent. You allowed this to happen. You could have prevented it. You didn't. You allowed this in my life, in my marriage, in my work, wherever it may be. You allowed this, and on and on. I trust you. I don't understand it. I trust you. And that's all God is looking for. Will you trust me? I know what I'm doing. I just don't understand. I want to do your will. I want to do this, and I want to do that. And you won't bring this into it. You won't give me relief in this.
You won't bring me a husband or a wife, or you won't remove this sickness or this illness, and on and on, that seems to me to be interfering with my relationship with you. Why are you not doing this? But we stand back and say, I don't question you. You're God. I trust you. And that's what God is looking for. And that's why the battle is a battle of faith. It's not a battle to learn more. You'll never learn. You'll never learn enough of this scripture to know and be able to understand everything God does. Sometimes He just simply wants your trust. Will you trust me? And we have to be ready to say, yes, I trust you. And I will continue to trust you in this state of existence. So this is what He's looking for. Don't think you've got Him confined in a definition. The definition of God goes beyond all of this. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's wrong to gather up from Scripture the things and the assets and the attributes and gain some understanding. But don't confine Him by those things. Don't say, I've got you figured out. Because the moment you say that, any married man knows better than saying, I understand my wife totally. That you're gonna be hit from the side that night. So most men will know this. Every Christian ought to know this about God. Don't ever say, I've got Him all figured out. I mean, do you realize if we want to give God a pleasant personality and not be blasphemous, that's almost a challenge. Women accept that. I've got you figured out. Don't ever say that to a woman, even if you think you do. Because that just, I'll show you. You don't have me figured out. Watch me put your white underclothes in with your blue jeans, and I'll show you. See? Don't do that. Well, if you say to God, God, I got you all figured out, you've almost like waved a flag. You've got all you do? You've got me all figured out? Watch this move. And it'll stay right in His being. Right in His perfect, absolute being. But it'll boggle your mind how He did that. And why He did that. So we have a passive voice. So first of all, I know where I was. First of all, you have a problem understanding God, or secondly, you don't understand the creature. You don't understand just how desperately wicked we are. You just don't understand how desperately helpless we are, even as Christians. You don't understand your total, absolute need of Him. If you think you can do or earn something from God, this is why the passive voice is called the grace voice. It's called the voice of grace as well as the passive voice. It's as we receive from God. Now, how do I receive anything from God? Again, people, here we go. Faith. I receive salvation, the work of Christ, the reconciling work, the propitiatory work of Christ. I receive whatever the Holy Spirit gives. I receive whatever God gives in His passive voice. See? As opposed to, just to show you, so you're thinking with me, passive versus the active voice. Because it performs the action of the verb. I'm going to do something to receive something from God. No? Passive. Well, how do we receive something from God? Always we receive from God by faith. That's what we do in receiving from God. So here again, the passive voice jumps out at us in this respect. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It was given to us by God the Holy Spirit to us believers. How? At the moment we accept Christ as Savior. Now, let's just stop. Do you believe? Do you trust? Let's start with a model before we go to that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you believe that you, as an unbeliever, do you believe Jesus Christ and that by your faith in Christ you are reconciled to God? But here's the one that God sent to reconcile you to God. And everyone sitting here who has been saved, you answered that yes. And I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now the same thing comes. Do you believe that through the Holy Spirit, faith in the Holy Spirit, that God the Father will pour the Holy Spirit, under the direction of the Father, the Holy Spirit will pour spiritual love in and through you. Either we believe that or we don't. Either I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to do what Scripture says the Holy Spirit will do. I trusted Jesus Christ to do what Scripture said he would do. I didn't trust in a technical sense. It's not a matter of trusting the promise as it's trusting the person. That's the difference I want you to see. Scripture takes us to a person. Scripture takes us to the person of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, trust Him. Scripture takes us to the person of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, trust Him, and He'll pour in this love. Do we believe that or not? See? Do we believe that the Holy Spirit, if I trust the Holy Spirit, He will pour in this love? It's too easy. This is one of the big complaints. This is too easy. This is too easy. We've got to work. We've got to do. Man's got to be a part of all of this. Man's got to be a part of his salvation. We want so much to be a part of it. We want so much to do and to work. No, you don't. You don't do anything except trust Him. And He does the work. In this case, He sent His Son. In this case, He sent the Holy Spirit to do these things. It's easy salvation, people. It's easy spirituality. It's easy to have this love flowing through us. So, again, briefly, though, we have this question, this proverbial, if you please, question, and that is, how do I have this love flowing through me? And again, my first answer is the pattern that is set when we were unbelievers. How did we receive the work of Jesus Christ? And I see the same thing in regard to being believers. We receive the work of the Holy Spirit, and both are by faith. They both are in the Holy Spirit. Everything that we do now, everything for salvation is related to the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything over here is the Holy Spirit, our relationship with Him. Look with me at a few verses. Look first of all at Romans chapter 6. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 13. Romans 6:13. Do not go on persecuting the members of your body to sin, or presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So, what we have in the Romans 6, let's put them on the board so we can get some of these words down that cause so much trouble in the Christian life. Number one, we have in Romans chapter 6. Let's take a look again in Romans 6:13. He says, present yourselves to God and present your members. So we have ourselves, we have here the word present. We have the word to present ourselves. Secondly, let's look at Romans 8:4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Romans 8:4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So now we come to Romans 8. Here's Romans 8, and this is walk. We walk. We present ourselves to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Or the third passage, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service, which that is service, sacrifice, and caring last Sunday. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present. So Romans chapter 12. So here we go to Romans chapter 12. Present again. Present. Now, we have those three words. Let's just keep working through before we start drawing some conclusions here. Fourth. The fourth one has two in it. Look at Galatians 5 with me. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. So here is Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. And if you look at verse 18, Galatians 5 and verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, so here we have in Galatians chapter 5, 18, led by the Spirit, and one more, and that is in verse 25. Chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. So we live by the Spirit. What is living? That is how you and I are going to receive life as born-again believers. Let us walk by the Spirit. Now, come to the question. How can I fulfill all of these? How do I present myself to God? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I present myself? Walk. How am I led by the Spirit? What is my part in being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit? And this is where people get into all of their great battles. And again, go to our model. All of these are done, in my understanding of Scripture, by faith. I present myself by faith, not by works, not by something I do, but by trusting Him to put myself at His total usage. We walk. How do we walk? We walk by faith. Walk in the Holy Spirit by faith. Walk in the Spirit down here by faith. Present by faith. We are led. How are we led? We are led by walking, by trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us. People have a great trouble being led of the Spirit. What does that mean? It's a nebulous term. We don't want to talk about it. How do I know if I'm being led of the Spirit or my own will or my own desires? If you have put yourself, presented yourself by faith to the Holy Spirit, you've asked for wisdom and asked Him to lead, and you're led in a way, a thought comes into play, it's not contrary to Scripture in any way, where do you think it came from? 9 times out of 10, it will have come from what you just prayed, what you just done by faith, you trusted Him. That's why, people, we walk by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. We do not live by sight. I don't want to come this way again next Wednesday night. I want to move to something else. So let's just read quickly with very little commentary, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just read in our study of the cause of spiritual love. Remember, that's what we're here tonight, looking at the cause. What is the cause of love in me? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And so, again, be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes through a lot of things that will happen if indeed you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, there are a lot of passages that we can look at in regard to our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the things that Paul prays for. But it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we have the things that are given to us. And I want to deal next week with another part of the new commandment, and that's where we'll begin. Let's close in a word of prayer. Any questions afterward, I'll be glad to deal with them. Father, what a gracious God you are, Father, that you imputed us with your righteousness for redemption and reconciliation, that you did not impute us with love. Your love, Heavenly Father, is that which we receive as we live our life by faith. We turn ourselves, as it were, into a vessel, a container in which you can pour in this love. And having this love, Heavenly Father, we can do the works of Christ, for we have the same love that He has. We praise you, Father, for the God you are. We praise you for your word, and for your Spirit that you've given to us to pour this love. In Christ's name, amen.